Hello, my name is Robert Simmons. I have new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from depression, pride, and lust. Pray with me, please. Lord God, I thank you for this glorious day that you've given us, and that all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. God, I pray that you get me out of the way, and that you speak through me tonight your story that my life has been. God, I pray that you work in the hearts of the people here and just soften them to where that they hear your message. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. I was not raised in a true Christian home as I know it now. My family consisted of my parents, a sister 2 years younger, and a brother 4 years younger. We attended church mostly on special holidays and whenever my father didn't have plans for the weekend. I do not remember much about going to this church. My mother was a housewife, and she provided a loving home for us all. My father worked hard all of his life, most of the time at 2 jobs, in order to provide a roof over our heads and meals on the table. He was a disciplinarian. When we did something wrong, we hid, for there was so much anger in my father. And believe me, the rod was not spared in our house. He would also tell us not to cuss, lie, cheat, or steal, although it was not carried out in his life. A couple of times my mother had to step in, for the anger inside of him would transfer over to his discipline. My life through junior high was characterized by performance, which was excelling in sports. I was selfish, prideful, and did what I wanted to at any cost, whether it be something good or bad. When it was bad, I figured out that I could blame it on my sister or my brother and get away with it. So lying became a part of my makeup. But something was missing inside of me. I had no idea what that something was. As time went on during summer league baseball, there was a family that we had become friends with who got my attention. This family had kids exactly the same ages as we were, and I became close friends with their oldest son, Don. The reason they had my attention was that they had something that we didn't. They went to church every week, even on Wednesdays. Their father didn't drink, cuss, or scream at any of us. Their lives were filled with joy, contentment, and happiness. I was invited to attend church with them and went every opportunity that I was given. The young people at this church were very different also. I could see in their eyes and by the way they acted that they too had this joy, contentment, and happiness. My life was not and had never been centered in biblical beliefs. I did just what felt good at the time. As I attended more, I was presented the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit started working on my hard heart. I became aware of my selfishness and self-centeredness, which were guiding my steps. I began to see the sin in my life and knew that I had not been forgiven. Until on Sunday night of June of 1973, the sermon was on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That night, the Holy Spirit so moved me to walk down that aisle and turn my life over to Jesus Christ. After doing this, I too experienced the joy, contentment, and happiness that I had seen in so many that attended this church. Afterwards, Don drove me home, and I told my parents the news that I had given my life to Christ. They were very happy for me and told me that it was a good thing that I had given my life over to the Lord. At church, I was told to read the Bible every day, to attend church when the doors were open. The only problem was no one took me under their wing and equipped or mentored me. So I was left to figure this Christian thing out on my own. As soon as my brother graduated high school in 1978, my parents divorced, and it was not long before discouragement set in, and I returned to my old life. I was spiraling out of control once again. The following years were plagued with three failed marriages, none of which had Christ at the center. They were all about what I wanted, what made me feel good, with no unity to one. As Christ shows us in Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. All three have since remarried. I have made my amends to each one in private as to not disrupt their lives. I then started using drugs and then became dealing them. Then I also committed armed robbery, and this is when I hit bottom. I was faced with two choices, go to prison or straighten my life up. I chose to straighten my life up, although it was on my own and not with God's help or guidance. I was still not walking with God or going to church. Then in 1984, I met Trish, who won my heart. It was a very bumpy road for the next 19 years. She had numerous health problems. I was at work on 03-01-03, which was on a Saturday, and I received a phone call from her that she had gotten sick. When I went home, called the doctor who prescribed some medication for her. By Sunday evening, she had gotten worse. I asked her if she could hold on until morning and that I would take her to her doctor for help. She agreed. But then came the morning of 03-03-03, when she awakened at 3:45 in severe pain. I called 911, and the ambulance and paramedics came. I wanted them to take her to Baylor, but after loading her in the ambulance, one of the paramedics came back up to the door and told me that they didn't think that she would make it to Baylor, and we all agreed on a local hospital. When I arrived, she was in triage, already with IV and an oxygen mask on. The doctor had a very concerned look on his face. He told me she was very sick. His first concern was her elevated heart rate. He said she needed to be intubated in order to relieve the pressure that was building on her heart. She was reluctant at first, but she finally agreed. They were going to move her to the treatment room, so I told her that I loved her and kissed her on the cheek. I went outside to call my mother and my sister to let them know what was going on and where we were. Upon returning to the ER, I turned the corner to see a man on top of my wife giving her CPR. A very cold chill came over my body. Two people came at me and set me down in a chair right beside the treatment room. They closed the door 3/4 of the way at this point. I was told that they had a problem with getting the tube down and they were calling in her doctors. It was almost an hour before any of them came out of the room. My mother and my sister had made it to the hospital by this time. One of the doctors finally emerged from the room and came towards me and leaned down. He told me that while trying to intubate her, she went into cardiac arrest. And it took 45 minutes to get her stable. And during that time, her brain had not received any oxygen whatsoever. Then came the words that she was not going to make it. I was then faced with calling her two kids in California. Her daughter was able to get on the next plane leaving, but she would not arrive in Dallas until 5:35. They moved Trish to the ICU unit where I sat all day, watching the levels on the machines continue to drop. I prayed all day that God would do something to make this not so. that she would still be here when her daughter arrived. Almost to the second that the plane arrived, my wife left this place and was in Jesus' midst. After a week of caring for family and a memorial service, everyone left. I just thought that I had hit bottom before. This time, I hit rock bottom with nowhere to go. This led me down another spiral of deep depression, isolation, anger towards God, and thoughts of suicide. I did not want to be on this earth any longer. I wanted nothing to do with anyone or anything. Anger, control, fear of man kept me in isolation. Stuck, not knowing where to go or what to do. Again, wanting to fix things my way and not God's. Asking the question why instead of what. Then in 2006, I was in work in need of a concrete company. Christ led me to Premium Concrete. This is when I met Dorley. She was young, vibrant, had morals, character, integrity, and I could see in her eyes the joy, contentment, happiness, and love in her heart that I had seen years back. She became a good friend. God took the thoughts of suicide out of my mind and showed me that there was a different way to live. I took notice, and the transformation started taking place. The first thing was I changed the radio station in my truck and started listening to Christian music and teaching during the day. These messages started the Holy Spirit to work once again on my hard heart and started softening my heart one step at a time. You see, this life is not a sprint. It is truly a marathon. As it says in Titus 3:5, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. I then thought I needed to find a church home and a counselor. By trade, I am a general contractor. And one of my customers recommended a church, and I attended the next Sunday. When I entered the sanctuary, I could feel the presence of God and knew at this point that I had found a home. When I inquired about recovery, I was referred to regeneration. I started going to meetings the very next night. I was greeted with love and open arms. It felt safe, and everyone was open about their struggles and problems. I knew once again, this is where God wanted me to be. I became surrounded by a group of men in my case that were loving, empathetic, compassionate, and started praying for me. These men started holding me accountable for my actions, and we developed relationships. This 12-step process brought me to have a clearer, deeper understanding of what it means to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I soon found out that the counselor that I needed was Jesus Christ Himself. I found that God does have a purpose for my life, and He has one for you, each one of you in this room. Number one, that I should fear the all-powerful God, which means to respect and stand in awe of Him for who He is. And that purpose in life starts with who we know, not what we know or how good we are. I found that it was impossible to fill my God-given purpose without humility and reverence to God. And giving God first place in my heart and in my life, I am and will always be amazed at the love that He has for me. Yes, me. I will finish with Philippians 3, 12 to 15. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which I was also laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. As it says in this verse, I am not perfect, but now my life stands for Christ. I have left the past behind. I pray constantly every day for the Holy Spirit to lead me down the path that I am to take. I have become involved in leadership here at Regeneration, mentoring and guiding men down the path that brings them to a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I, along with many others, minister to the homeless. I continue to pray daily for God to use me any way He sees fit to enhance His kingdom. Something I shared with my group here a while back that I'd like to share with y'all. This is my hand. Imagine this is God's hand. Here you are, right here, and you fall. Where are you? You are still in God's hand. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. You can never, He will never let you go, ever. If you are here for the first time, I want to offer encouragement and to inspire you down this road to recovery. I want you to know, without any doubt whatsoever, you are not alone nor on an island. For everyone in this room tonight is struggling right along with you. I'm living proof that God can change lives. I am by no means fixed, but I am now on a lighted path. My life verse is Isaiah 58, 9 to 11. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will become like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Thank you for letting me share.